Amen. I'm so glad and excited that I could be with you all here. We've been planning with the team, and we're excited about what God is going to do in this place over the next few moments. Amen. Amen. I believe that there's people that have come here with expectation, people that have come here desiring something from God. And I believe that God can meet that need, whatever need you have. If you come, if you're hungry and you haven't received the Holy Spirit, I believe that God can fill you with the Holy Spirit today. Before you leave those doors, amen. Amen. Before I begin, you can sit down for a moment. Before I begin, I want to thank this church and Pastor Jonathan Downs and the leadership for supporting the AYM program, Australian Youth on Missions program over the years. And we know Pastor Downs has been involved heavily in the national youth team. He's been the president for many years. I was talking with him last night, and even when I first got into youth, I remember looking up to Brother Jonathan Downs, and I remember messages that he preached at conferences about passing on the baton, making sure that the youth, we pick up the baton that the elders have passed on, that they have carried, that they have run the race. Amen. And this year we have 18 teams that have formed from churches and youth all around Australia, and we have a record number of 82 young people who are on this program. And we've formed teams and we've gone through to different churches, and I'm excited that I can be here in Canberra with you all today. I want to also give a quick shout out to our AYM hosts. Thank you for everyone who has hosted the team. Brooke and Morty, thank you for hosting me. Brother Daniel is an awesome friend to me, and he does a lot of work in the background. I know he's an awesome youth leader here. All the young people love him, but even on the national level, he does a lot in behind the scenes on social media, and he reaches out to hundreds of young people every day. And so you can just be so appreciative of his ministry. The first time I came to this church was at the start of this year, or it was the end of last year, I should say. We were in conference, and I heard about the New Year's event that you were having here. And let me tell you, it was an amazing event. We had some preaching, we had some praying, and we had some partying. Amen? Amen. I had a lot of fun, and if you weren't there last year, definitely try and make it this year. I'm going to try my best to be here again, but that was my first time coming to this church. And if you're not a member of this church, if you're visiting here, I encourage you to come back again next Sunday and make this church your home church, because this is an awesome church. Amen. I'm going to turn to the Bible. I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18. Once you found it, if you can stand for the reading of God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18. If you found this, say amen. Amen. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. Before we sit down, let's just take some time to pray over this word and pray for God to move into this place over the next few moments. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you, O God, for your word, O Lord Jesus. I pray you anoint me as I speak, O God. I pray for every ear, O God, may hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, O God. I pray, O God, may we have sensitive hearts, O God. May we, O God, be receptive to what you want to say to us here today, O Lord. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Before the days of GPS, our ancestors would use the stars to align themselves in the dark. We know that sailors, as they were going out in sea, they didn't have any navigation. They didn't have anything that they could, they didn't have any landmarks that they could give them an idea or pinpoint what direction they were going in. And you know, we know that during the day we have the sun that we can kind of see. The sun rises in the east and it falls in the west. But at night, they had to look at the stars. And they had to look at the stars, and they would see groups of stars or constellations, and they would figure out exactly where they were going, and they would align themselves off that. And they have found only recently that there are some groups of Aboriginal Australians who use these stars as maps. These star maps were used when they were teaching other people about how to get to a particular location. So they'd look up and they'll see the stars and they'll tell a story and they'll say, all right, from this star to this star, this is how you get there. This star is a watering hole, maybe. Or another star was a bend in the creek. And sometimes they found that they traveled over 900 kilometers following the signposts that the stars gave them. They were used as memory tools. They sang songs about them to help remember, so they remember the path of where they want to go. And tonight, if you go outside and you try and find a place away from the city, away from all the street lights, you get out into the country somewhere and you look up, and if it's a cloudless night, you'll see a lot of stars. But if you looked in one particular direction, you'd see a constellation of stars that are very well known in Australia. They're not the brightest and they're not the biggest, but they're often used in navigation at night and as a compass pointing south. The official name, which in Latin is Crux, which means the cross. And you would most likely know it by the name the Southern Cross. The Southern Cross is more than just a set of stars. The Southern Cross is a symbol of the Australian people. It's on our flag, and it's in our Australian anthem. It's part of our identity. And if you go outside on a cloudless night, you should be able to see the Southern Cross. But while it has been a guide to many, there is a greater cross. And today, with the help of the Lord, I want to lead you to a greater cross, because the cross will lead you home. And that is my message today. The cross will lead you home. Amen. The symbol of the cross, it carries great meaning. It forms the central story of Christianity and is its universal symbol. You'll find it raised on the top of many church buildings, and you'll find it sung about inside the church buildings. And if you are new here, you might know a little bit, but you still might be asking yourself, what is the whole deal about the cross? Why do they sing about the cross? Why do they love the cross so dearly? The cross is a brutal thing. It was used as an instrument of torture back in the days of the Romans. It was used as capital punishment. It's what the Romans did to criminals and runaway slaves. They would nail two pieces of wood together and they would stick them in the ground near the highway where everyone would see, and they would hang the criminals up there. And sometimes they would take hours and days even to die. And it served as a reminder there to the people, showing this is what happens if you rebel. And those who are found guilty would hang on the cross for hours until they couldn't lift themselves to breathe anymore and they ran out of breath. If you died on the cross, it was by suffocation because you couldn't lift yourself up to take that breath anymore. And so at the cross, there is sacrifice. The cross that we're talking about is not just two pieces of wood nailed together. The cross to us represents the greatest sacrifice ever known to the world. When Jesus Christ died, it was no accident. It was not an afterthought in the plan of God. It wasn't just God working all things together for good. But this is the very reason that Jesus came into the world. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many." This was the reason why Jesus came into this world. And he didn't do anything deserving of death. In fact, he was innocent. Romans 5:7-8 says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man one might even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. We were the ones deserving of death. We were separated from God and from his holiness. And his holiness could never allow sin to come into his presence. And so there's nothing that we could have done on our own to get back into that presence of God. There's no amount of good that we could have done to get into the presence of God. There's no amount of good that we could have done to make ourselves worthy enough to get into heaven. But there had to be a price that was paid for our sin, a price that we could not pay. So what did God do? God, in his great love, he took our place. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The Holy Spirit came over Mary and she conceived and bore a son. But this wasn't just a second person. This wasn't another God. 1 Timothy 3:16 says this was God manifested in the flesh. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him." And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And at the cross, while there is suffering, we know that at the cross there is also life. Today, the symbol of the cross doesn't only represent suffering and defeat, but it represents triumph and salvation. How can this be? The reason why we can sing about the cross is because the story didn't end at the cross. On the third day, Jesus rose again from the dead, and now he is alive, and he's alive forevermore. And so the cross will lead you home, but there's more to the story. Don't stop at the cross. Jesus is no longer hanging on the cross. He's no longer even in the grave. But there's an old song that says, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." It's because he lives, all fear is gone. And I'm so glad that he was there for me when I needed him the most. I'm so glad that even when we lose our way, all we need to do is come back to the cross. And let that be a reminder every time you look up at the night sky, any time when you see the stars and you see the Southern Cross, let that be a reminder that God is calling you back to the cross. That when you come back to the cross, that is home. For the cross will lead you home. And at the cross, there is salvation. If you have lost your way, go back to the cross. Follow the path of salvation. The cross doesn't make sense according to this world's standards. We read our main text, 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness." It doesn't make sense. What on earth is the cross all about? Why do we glorify the cross so much? Why do we sing about it? Why do we raise it up as our banner? It's because we know that we have been saved because of the cross. We know it's because of the cross is the reason why we're here today. It's the reason that we can be set free from our sin. It's the reason that we can be in heaven one day together with God again. Amen. It's all because of the cross. It's all because of the sacrifice that he gave. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So today, you can receive salvation. The plan of salvation is very simple. It's not complicated, but it will transform your life. In Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Repentance is death to yourself. When you say yes to God, you're saying no to your flesh. But there's a promise that comes with that. There's a promise that comes when you come to the cross, is that you're not going to leave the cross empty-handed. It's not that it's because he lives that we can face tomorrow. It's a promise that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this promise, Peter continued, is not just for you. It's to all those who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Romans 6:5 says, for if we are planted in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And the Holy Spirit is simply God living inside of you. God living inside of you. So what is the Holy Spirit? How do we know that you have received the Holy Spirit? When we read through the book of Acts, when we read through Acts 2, when we read through Acts 10, Acts 19, we find whenever they received the Holy Spirit, they received the Holy Spirit and they spoke in other tongues as they glorified God. All these verses tell us that when they received the Holy Spirit, there was a sign that came down from heaven. It wasn't something that was debatable. It wasn't something that you had to walk away and say, now, have I really received the Holy Spirit or not? When you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll know it. You can't deny it. No one else can deny it. The world can't give it and the world can't take it away. Amen. Paul calls it his seal, the seal of God. When God places his seal of God on your life, and you know that he has accepted you, that he's taken you into his kingdom, into his family. And the greatest thing is that the Holy Spirit is still being poured out all over the world, even today. Doesn't matter what country. We find there's reports coming in from Asia, from South America, from North America, from Europe, from Africa. Everywhere across all Christian denominations, the Holy Spirit is being poured out. And people are saying, some people don't even know what it is because they haven't been taught that way. But then they're coming and saying, what is this experience that I've had? I was just praying one day in my room and all of a sudden I just started speaking in tongues. And they don't know what it is. But when they go to the Word and they see that it's all in there, that it's all in there. The first apostles, the first disciples, that was the experience that they had when they were saved. I know that when I received the Spirit at the age of 10, my life was forever changed. That day there was such a joy that came over my heart that I began to weep. All of a sudden, all of the emptiness that I used to feel, I could feel no longer. And it doesn't mean that since then that I haven't had tough times, that I haven't been hurt or gone through difficult battles. But I know that if it wasn't for God, I don't know where I would be. And I know that God was with me every single step of the day, all the way. And I know that from that moment when I experienced the life-saving power of the cross, when I was baptized in the name of Jesus, a little while later, my life was secure in the hands of God. At the cross, there is salvation. At the cross, there is new life. So today, as we stand, and we're going to invite the musicians to come, and we're going to have a special altar call. We're going to have a special altar call, and if you have never received the Holy Spirit with the sign of speaking in other tongues, I invite you to come forward today. I invite you to come, and we'll have the ministry team pray for you. And maybe you've gone and you've been led astray. Maybe you've lost your way a little bit. Let me just tell you that if you ever lost, it's going to be the cross that's going to lead you home. It's going to be the cross that leads you home. So if you ever you're lost, you need to find a place where you can come back to the cross. Come back to the place where you were first saved. Come back to the place where you first saw the light and the burden of your hearts were rolled away. Hallelujah. So let's all stand across this place. The enemy would love to give you every excuse as to why this is not applicable to you. The enemy would love to throw every excuse at you now to say why you shouldn't step out in faith. Sometimes we can have shame come in so strongly that you don't think that God could ever forgive you. And sometimes it's easy to start thinking that you've gone too far. You've gone too far for God to ever to ever come back to God. But let me tell you, it doesn't matter how far you've gone, you can never outrun God's love. It doesn't matter how much you've sinned or how big your sin is, God is here today and He's extending out His hand of mercy. God is drawing you even now. There is a reason why you're here today. There is a reason why you're listening to this message and not somewhere else. It's because God is reaching out this very moment. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. It doesn't matter what you've done. The cross will lead you home. It's because the cross will lead you home. So before you come up, we're going to pray a prayer of repentance. And I believe that God is going to work in this place in a mighty way. But we need to have our hearts ready for God to come in, for God to enter in. So let's all raise our voices together. And in your own way, ask God to forgive you for your sins.